Good afternoon, planet Earth. Good afternoon to the various tribes that live beyond the Dead Sea. Good afternoon to the mountain people of the Urals. Good afternoon to the various elk and moose out there elking and moosing, out there with the grizzly bear, living in harmony with the balance of nature. It is April the 4th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. Right around 2:30 p.m., Tuesday. That's right. Tuesday, here in Scompton, Utah. Here in Scompton, Utah, not too far from Vernal, where if you want a hooker, you have to go. We're a drive away from Dinosaur, Colorado, where if you want some weed, you gotta drive. And there's Christie's Liquor Store in Dinosaur, Colorado. The only place you can get real beer around here any day of the week. Yep. Tuesday. I have to say, in my last podcast, I got a little bit, I don't know, angry and bitter at the end. And I hope you can cut me some slack. I really don't know what to tell you. I'm in one of those places in my mind where if I'm wrong about how I see the world, then a year from now, I should probably seek psychiatric care. Because I should. I mean, it's as if what is reality isn't reality, and if I'm not in touch with it, then I probably should just go to a hospital. On the other hand, maybe something else going on. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and it's roughly based upon a famous George Carlin quote. Madness, colon, it's a big club, and you're a member. Madness. It's a party. You're invited, shithead. You're invited. You can go crazy. I'd ask my mom. Mom, where you going? She'd say she's going crazy. Wanna come along? Yes, madness, a big club, and you're a member. What does that mean? Well, the famous George Carlin quote refers to a small group of people that more or less have all the power and all the money and all the tools to run the world. And if you listen to my podcast, you know that I believe there are people with power, but do I think of it as some close-knit group of super evil geniuses like the Legion of Doom with Lex Luthor in charge? No, I don't. It's not that I follow Hanlon's razor. I'm a Christian. I was a Christian before I knew I was a Christian because I saw the world in terms of good and evil long before I understood that Jesus was always there. But as a Christian and as a person that does see good and evil in the world, it's not a question of whether or not these people have power. And in many cases, they can be quite intelligent. But the general belief system they adhere to, their ideology, is unwise. It is. It's unwise. If you're an anarchist and you give speeches about secret coalitions of groups of people that have infinite power throughout history and cannot be stopped, then why the fuck do you call yourself an anarchist? Because it seems intrinsic to your belief system that freedom, a free society, is superior to a tyranny. So why call yourself, you know, an anarchist if you believe in some kind of cabal, some sort of trans-historical cabal that is beyond really anybody doing anything about? Now, as a Christian, I'll admit to you, there is Satan. Satan probably has a cabal. But even in this case, I am, you know, how can I put this, unafraid. For the simple fact that we have prophecy. And we know how the story ends, so I'm not afraid. And really, if you deconstruct Satan, you know, and by the way, before we go too far off on a tangent, Satan loves madness because madness makes people open to evil. But anyways, Satan's a grifter. Satan has no real power, not really. If you evaluate your existence in this world and you know that you're a spiritual being, you're a being of fire and love, you're a being created by God, and that nobody owns you except for you, then what power does Satan really have? I mean, he's a con artist. He'll say to Jesus, "Oh, Jesus, look at all these towns. I can give them to you." And Jesus must smile and just think to himself, "Shithead. If I wanted to, I own all of it already. You can walk around and make deals and have hookers and get crabs, but shithead, if I wanted to own the world the way you describe it, Satan, I could own it. Except everything, every part of it, every particle of it, every atom of it is designed by design to turn to nothing. Nothing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many paintings you own. Doesn't matter how many cabins you build. Doesn't matter how many mountains you ski down. Doesn't matter really if you drink. And it also doesn't matter if you're fucking sober. On a certain level, it really doesn't. This life is yours. But in terms of ownership, all those little people you point at, devil, they own themselves. And as far as I, you know, my life goes, there's Satan. And I think this is what Christ would say. Buddy, I mean, I don't know how to put this. Again, you're not offering me anything I couldn't simply ask for. Madness. We do live in an age of crazy, but the crazy I don't believe is accidental or organic. Some of it might be. You know, in a previous podcast, I talked about spoofing the third eye. And I do think in 2019, a lot of people's alarms are going off. A lot of people I know. I remember telling somebody in September of 2019 that I thought the church would have to go underground soon. I think I was half right, or maybe mostly right. In terms of the real Church of Jesus, I do think it has gone underground. I think that what we learned in 2020 and 21 and every year since 2020, basically, is that a lot of these 501c3 churches are not churches of Christ. They don't represent Jesus. It doesn't matter if they're Baptist or Lutheran. Doesn't matter if they're Quaker or Presbyterian or some big arena church with an espresso bar in the back. It does not matter. People of principle had a choice. They were given a mind by God. They could have asked simple questions. They could have simply gone to Harborview Medical Center like I did in March and April and May of 2020 and actually seen the truth with their own eyes. They could have done everything I did, and they chose instead to live in a cloud, a lie. But what if I'm crazy, right? Yeah. What if I'm the crazy one? Before I move on to the next topic, I brought up a man, a French philosopher, no longer with us, I guess arguably a kind of structuralist or post-structuralist in that French sense, Michel Foucault. And Foucault's written about a lot of interesting topics, to include insane asylums and prisons. And one of the things Foucault might say, as I pointed out in the past, is that our definition of crazy is also contingent. But I gotta be honest with you folks, when I look around, I see a lot of crazy. Today I was walking, going to grocery store, and I saw some of that crazy, angry driving, people just pulling out in the traffic, and you say to yourself, that person has made a destination, you know? That person has a destination, but it's not where they think they're going. They think they're driving home, but they're really driving to their death. And if it's getting crazy here in middle of nowhere, bumfuck Utah, Scompton, Utah, if it's getting crazy in a place that has basically a couple stoplights, then I can't imagine what it's like in a city right now. And people might say, well, Dan, it's just wonderful in my neighborhood. Well, maybe. There are some neighborhoods that are pretty cloistered. I visited a neighborhood in 2016 in Atlanta, and it was pretty separate. It seemed like its own little private Idaho. And I remember having that conversation with someone I cared about, and I said, you know, I know that you think the reality you're living in right here is reality, but what if it's not? You know, the thing about the academic world, in a lot of cases, especially the really, really popular or prestigious universities, is that if you're a tenured professor, you could live in a little magical aquarium, you know, I guess a diorama or whatever, but you could live in a little magical world and everything could seem just perfect in your world. And right outside your world, not too far away, everything could be falling apart. It's just the way the world works now with a lot of, you know, many different types of professional communities. I think Microsoft was the same way. If you worked for Microsoft and you never wanted to touch the real world, you didn't have to. You could work for Microsoft and drive off to some little community on the east side, probably have a gate, you know, walk your fucking dog, go hike on Mount Si. Probably go skiing at Snoqualmie Pass a few times a year. Go to your fucking Seahawks game. Go to the fucking Costco. And if you didn't want to accept reality in any form, you always had your tablet or your smartphone, and you could stare at that as you walked by the turds and the blood and the dried cum on the streets. Yeah. Anyways, madness. It's a big club, and the good news is most of us are members now. Next friggin' topic, right? Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Who is the worst? Which person is the worst? The human being that's the worst human is a dumb game to play on the Death Star. And this one, this quote should be rewritten. Let me explain what I mean by this, or rather Dr. Freckles means. There's a lot of people playing the blame game right now. Well, if it weren't for those millennials, if it weren't for those boomers, if it weren't for those, you know, Generation X shitheads, if it weren't for some particular group, if it weren't for the white people or the black people or the Mexicans or the Native American, if it weren't for the fucking Danish people, fuck you, Denmark. Fuck you, Denmark. I should say that every show. Fuck you, Denmark. Fuck you, Denmark. Fuck you, Denmark. You know, say goodbye. Yeah. But, you know, folks, here in the United States of America, and I sometimes call it the Death Star, you know, as an analogy to the Death Star from episode four, and I guess arguably episode six of that absurd series that never ends, Star Wars. But yeah, I have said, and I've argued, that you could think of this country as the Death Star. And A lot of people on the Death Star like to point fingers and say, well, that shithead's worse than me, and that group of people is better than them, or that group's worse than that group. Folks, you know, in a few podcasts ago, I said, none of us get to be heroes. That time is over. And I know that may have sounded extreme, but I think my friends, my brothers and sisters, in the coming weeks, months, and years, you'll understand it wasn't extreme. Okay? You don't get to be a hero. You can do the right thing, you can be a good person, but if you think you're going to get a chance to be a fucking hero on the Death Star, how can I put this? The most heroic thing you can do on the Death Star is get to the safest part of it, which frankly is not a city, and start disconnecting yourself from it, which means learn to grow some food, learn to purify your water, learn to, if you can't on your own, be part of a community that can theoretically take care of itself. Those are the options. That's how you're a hero to your kids and your family on the Death Star. But if you think you're going to get a chance to take over the Death Star from Vader, I don't know how to put this to you. The Death Star, the secret destiny of every motherfucking Death Star, is to explode. You're not going to win an election. Donald Trump is not some fucking hero. I am so sick of people comparing him to Jesus, comparing him to Martin Luther King, comparing him abstractly to a whole bunch of other people. This is a guy who is a crook. He is a giant piece of shit. The way that he has made money has been mostly through bankruptcies. And oh, by the way, in order to have a Stormy Daniels scandal, you have to stick your dick in Stormy Daniels. And that's the kind of choice. Unless, of course, you're making the argument that he was so out of his mind stupid at the time, he didn't know he was sticking his dick in Stormy Daniels. Which one is it? Pick one. Pick a fucking lane. But the next time some motherfucker compares Trump to Jesus, I'm gonna fucking go crazy. Okay? Now, just because he's not Jesus, does that mean he's the worst person in the world? No, no, no. There's plenty of, you know, shitty accolades to go around. It also means I'm not promoting Biden. I don't promote any of these shitheads. If you want to waste your time every 2 or 4 years getting stressed out about people who are probably actors, and if they were real, don't give a fuck about you, that's you. Do you, okay? Do you. Stop posting about how you've been sober for 2 years. Stop posting about how you're going all healthy with your keto and your broccoli and your asparagus. If you're going to fucking stress people out with your mind control, wicked, self-delusional bullshit every 2 to 4 years, fuck you. Take your sign and take it home. That's my feeling about that. And as far as certain people being more responsible than other people, if you go to the grocery store and buy your Scrumbo food, if you participated in any form in the magical monkey herpes wearing that goddamn coffee filter, and definitely if you're a voter, then you're part of the shitty problem, fuckhead, and you should shut the fuck up. The best thing you can do, hero, is figure out if there's a place on the Death Star where your likelihood of survival increases. That's it. That is your great game. If you want to pretend you're a hero, figure out how you're going to save your fucking family. Because if you think you've seen the worst of it, you are deluded. Next topic. Right? Am I right? I am right. Oh, this should be a short topic. So I saw this article on Zero Hedge, and I know I told you I was going to eschew the news, but I just kind of loved it. And it's about a 30-year-old woman that defrauded J.P. Morgan. A 30-year-old woman that supposedly stole hundreds of millions of dollars from J.P. Morgan. And when I read this article, when I read the headline and the article itself, and you can read it on your own, I won't read it to you, I smiled. I thought, here's some fucking good news. Obviously, this person isn't getting away with it, but brothers and sisters, for every one freak that doesn't get away with it, there's probably a dozen that will. And as this shitty empire implodes, how can I phrase it? It was once a mighty evil crocodile. Now it's a giant skin sack filled with parasites, and at some point, you know, and many of you, you know, you mistake the locomotion that it's a coherent thing. No, those are all the parasites wriggling inside of it. But at some point, that nasty, rancid sack's going to split open. Okay? It's not in the far, far distant fucking future, brothers and sisters. For all you who have bought into the Alex Jones FEMA camp fear-mongering, understand this. These are not mostly good people, and if they don't get paid, they don't show up for work. How can I put it to you? I worked for these people before. They don't get paid, they don't show up. And getting paid with money that doesn't buy anything is the same as not getting paid, shithead. This game only ends one way, motherfucker. So when I read this article, I thought, oh my God, this is a good news story. This young woman, God bless her, she's pretty young, but she's almost in the window. I'm not in her league, but she could take me away to an island and I could teach her about love. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Oh boy, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Defrauding J.P. Morgan. Defrauding J.P. Morgan. Stealing money from J.P. Morgan is like raping Ted Bundy. Pretty much is, folks. That does not mean I am bestowing any type of ethical or moral superiority to anybody that rapes anybody. But here's the ticket. I will not shed a tear for someone like Ted Bundy since he's dead, but if he were alive, I would not shed a tear for him being raped. I wouldn't. He raped and killed many women. If Ted Bundy happens to get raped, I'm not really applauding the rapist as much as I don't give a fuck about Ted Bundy being raped. And as far as stealing money from J.P. Morgan goes, I have a fantasy of stealing billions from the Federal Reserve. It's never going to happen. It's not possible. I don't have the resources yet. But, you know, and I think the game's going to be over long before I'd ever get the resources. But yeah, I got a fantasy of ripping off the Federal Reserve. They're a giant, shitty institution. The more money we rip off from them, the sooner they go out of business. That's a good thing. A lot of wars and a lot of torture ends with that shitty institution vaporizing. So yeah, I go with Dr. Freckles' quote here. Defrauding J.P. Morgan is exactly like raping Ted Bundy. It's hard to really give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I kind of wish I could meet this young woman and, you know, teach her in the ways of love. You know, maybe. Now with my robot arm... Anywho, if you guys want to read the article, you can. I just consider it more noise and not enough signal to be really that interested in. But like I said, if you want to read about J.P. Morgan getting ripped off and having a little bit of a smile, that's good. Because here's the thing. If this young woman did rip off J.P. Morgan, like I said, I know enough about corruption and failure in complex systems to tell you that if one woman who's 30 years old has stolen that much money from J.P. Morgan, there's probably dozens and dozens of parasites who are successfully stealing billions from J.P. Morgan. And that brings a smile to my face. It makes me happy. Next topic. Next topic. So I've discussed the issue of how many people have been to outer space. I don't want to go into that. There was an article recently in Zero Hedge, headline, And this one comes from March the 31st. Headline, Richard Branson's Virgin Orbit dreams crash as funding not secured. Oh my God, funding not secured. That's so fucking sad. Yeah, so if you read the article, it talks about how Virgin Orbit shares have crashed in pre-market trading, blah, blah, blah. CEO Dan Hart held a company-wide meeting, blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, we have not been able to blah, 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 secure funding to get people to orbit in our magical space dildo. And folks, to this point in time, I don't know how many people have taken Virgin Galactic to go up to the Kármán line, which is roughly 50 miles above the surface of the Earth. And for your information, you can build yourself a balloon system that will take you up 20 plus miles, which I guess is halfway to being an astronaut shithead. Of the workforce will be laid off. It's so fucking stupid. You know, I don't like crypto, Bitcoin world stuff. I don't find it necessary to beat up on outer space that much. And by the way, just because I'm critical of NASA and all this space bullshit doesn't mean I think the Earth is flat. It also doesn't mean I don't think there's an outer space. What I will tell you is I'm highly skeptical of motherfuckers who tell me they went to the moon a half a dozen times, there and back, and then forgot how to do it for 50 fucking years. That's hard to believe. And if you tell me the total number of people that have been to what you call space in the last 70 fucking years since the beginning of that thing you call space is less than 700 unique people, out of what? The 8 billion alive today, or is it a better fraction if you include the 17 or 18 billion that have been born and or alive since then? The point is, and died, of course. The point is, it's a very, very small fraction. It's such a small percent of a percent. It's such a small fraction of nothing that a rational person would say, just looking at the numbers, that it never fucking happened, ever. That your odds of winning the lottery are better than ever going to space. At this point, after 70 fucking years, it's more likely you win money from the lottery than you'll ever see outer space. Yeah. And again, every time I read one of these, the space company can't work. Well, then when does it work? Because like I said before in many of my podcasts, I was born in 1970. I remember all the bullshit promises that were made. And I remember the deadlines. We'll be on Mars by 1995. We'll land people on Mars by the mid-90s. We'll have colonies on Mars by the year 2020, Bo Blimp Doc. Yeah, except for you don't, do you? And then I might get an email from some shithead. Well, there's a secret space. If there's a secret space program, then you might as well say that there's a supernatural force that runs the government and we're all fucked and it's over and you're never going to have a chance. So why would you participate at all? Why would you play the game? Why wouldn't you be just another fucking pigeon in a Skinner box and decide to go to the corner of the fucking cage? Why not? But let's just err on the possibility that the Lord gave us free will for a reason, and we can make choices, and we have a little bit of power, each one of us. So maybe there's not some transcendentally powerful secret space force or runaway, breakaway civilization. Maybe in reality, these are just grifters, con artists who have stolen money, and they take their stolen money, and they buy a few smart people, but they're still just grifters. And maybe outer space is a big fucking grift. Next topic, bros and hoes. So here is another topic. I saw this this advertisement on Zero Hedge, I think about a week ago. And I don't really want to spend a ton of time on it. I wrote a few words on the subject, but it was for an index fund that they're calling the Global War Index Fund. It's an index fund based upon U.S. defense and nuclear and oil and energy and Bitcoin and space tech, SEC approved. It's the Global War Index Fund. And with the Global War Index Fund, we'll bundle together the death and destruction, all the rabies, all the soldiers getting herpes, all the cluster bombs killing those fucking orphans are in the fund. And business is good, am I right? Global War Index Fund. If you're invested in something that is a bundled derivative of the things that are currently designed to kill you, to include Raytheon and all that geoengineering gumbus they spray in the sky. Oh, they're not spraying anything, Dan. Oh, okay. I'm glad you're in line for death. That's good. You've got the fund for it too. No, listen, if you're into a fund like this, you're into a fund, a derivative product based upon some of the shittiest people that have ever lived. The giant fucktards of history. These are people that might erase human civilization, and you're going to want to invest in an index fund based upon their wise decision making. Whether you think the Ukraine war is real, whether you think the Ukraine war is fake as fuck, what you do know is this. Fake wars, we don't need them. Real wars, we don't need them. In either case, we don't need them. It's the same thing with the motherfucking vaccine. You can fearmonger the vaccine all goddamn day. But I knew this, what, 3 fucking years ago? You don't need a magical vaccine for a pandemic that doesn't exist. Do you understand what I'm saying, bros and hoes? So I don't care if the Ukraine war is real or not, or if it's something in between. I think if somebody is making their living off of this wretched shit at this point in history, then clearly they checked the box and it's not the one for Jesus. They checked the other box. And I don't know what to say to a person like that except for fuck, fuck, fuck you. I don't know. Yeah. But Dan, that's not right. We're all shitheads on the Death Star. That is correct, and I'll be consistent. We are all garbage people on the Death Star. This is true. We are all shitheads. But you can still choose to be a lesser shithead. You can still choose to do as little harm as possible. And if that means you end up becoming poor by the definition of some motherfucker that lives in Seattle, who gives a fuck? Let that person be rich in their pile of ashes. Believe me, their harvest of pain will be a great richness. You would be better off being poor in the middle of nowhere than being rich in one of those shitty neighborhoods. Yeah. But I don't care. Fuck. Fuck it. Fuck. Fuckity. Fuck. Next topic, right? Am I right? Yep, I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. Yep. There's a lot of talk these days about what a man is. What's a man? People ask themselves what makes a man, and they'll say, well, what makes a woman? They'll say, what is a woman? And they will come up to me and say, Dan, can you tell me what a woman is? And I'll say, oh yeah, baby. A woman is a power beast with sick claws and ranger faces. She walks down by the old coolie shack and preaches breast expansion and buttocks convexivity. Her mind is a flutter with batty nonsense and crooked murder schemes. Women will dump your soul and feed it Drano, and then cry and then yell at you for not listening. Women will watch closely for their chance to poison you. Be on guard. That's a woman. Women are of the Threeg caste and are forced to wear the red in public. They are meant to clean the grease grizzle from off the barbecue. Yes, indeed. And they are tasked to keep well in times of greed. But they'll still sue you for child support and tell you that damn Korean kid is yours. I don't know that it's mine. It was 1998. It was dark in that room. No way he'd be in his 20s, besides at least 24. Women keep the clock sharp and wound. It's their job to frame a table, to place fried potatoes on a fucking plate. If they spend too much time bitching about lipstick and vacuum cleaners, then it's time to spin up that dance club and set her right. A woman is meant to be your foam princess, and she'll gather in the sheaves, place them in jars, and save them, and sell them to Japanese women who are really lonely. A woman will march through 8 deserts and hunt the hairy ape alone. She'll sell twinkle sauce to her sister brides while riding high on crocodile and Diet Coke. She has an answer to every fucking question and wears her pride as power. She'll hate men, but she'll always hate her sisters more. A woman cannot bear to give the sun more than her, and all others are whores. Women are whores. Oh my God. The female orgasm is a complex mixture of sand and charcoal and raccoon blood and kerosene. Her boobs are composed of popcorn and butter and wax and taffy. If rubbed correctly, they yield schnapps and cinnamon rum. That woman's body is a map of the city. Every alley, every lost cul-de-sac, every hovel in that dreary land. And you know you can see scars of where someone put out a cigarette. And you don't care. You found your, I'm going to drink some coffee. Fuck you. You found your angel love in her. And her scars are her dowry. The women folks wrestle with their chocolate desires, looking for frisky logs and friendly cable guys, while their man is out working in some terrible salt mine, being buried alive. That girl spends her day clutching on some large onyx beast whose power is manifest in those features of volcanic stone and mocha madness. The cuckolds die slowly of cancer and sadness as their women make love to any stranger, and this is just what they are. That's also a woman. A real woman is a tornado made of dynamite and steak and champagne. She flies in this world, relieved to know that nothing can stop her rise. Her men are mere consorts, for she is the queen and she has the honey. She'll tie you down to a domestic life and pick at you and remind you of that other guy. The other guy she could have had. But she knows about your hooker girlfriend at Denny's. And about the hotel room. And all those dried condoms you've been collecting. She knows because she's a woman. A woman has a boovula. This is her power crevice. She shoves all kinds of stuff into this place. Old rocks, dead squirrels, fish heads, used hairspray cans. From a woman's pulse, you can tell if she's ready for Freddy. Her heart beats faster, and she gives off the zoob mist, which emanates once again from her boobula. She reaches peak sexual excitement while rubbing her stwig and spending your money. If she could, she would connect some apparatus to her hand and to her mind and to her boobula, to unify the one love experience of shopping, even if online, this is also a woman. A real woman is unstoppable. Yes, a real woman is an unstoppable harlot, bent on the destruction of all that is good and well. She bursts on the scene, leaning in, providing input. And tipping everything over, baby. She insists on power positions, but then is unwilling to wear the rubber cock. Her voice is the voice of many tiny voices, all arising from her secret erogenous zones that are only known to the devil and John Stamos. She seeks to tie herself to a large oak frame bed. Nearly naked, covered in chocolate and rose petals. But her lover is the old gray monk. And her shame is on display every night at the strip club. A woman is a lighthouse, bringing her lover to shore. A woman is a missile, targeting your T-zone, targeting your love. A woman is a joker, and the joke is on you, shithead. Be careful, dear sir or ma'am, around the beast called woman. She will tear you apart. She will feast on your pain. A woman should never be, a woman should never address or speak to a man at an IKEA. The woman should know enough to use the credit card, sped the man into massive debt. Also, women should walk a few steps behind the men folk and should not be allowed in the men's study or on their golf club or in their special club. It all has separate needs, right? And don't come up to a woman in a garage. Don't come up to a woman in a garage. She'll blow your brains out with the new Taurus judge, buddy. The Taurus judge, stiffer sentence, man. That's, what is it? 4 or 5 410 shot shells, all in under 5 seconds. And then you got the 45 long Colt. It'll blow your head clean off. So don't approach that woman. She's in the fucking garage. Leave her the fuck alone. And go on about your shitty business, shithead. Because that's a woman, too. Oh, boy. If you like this podcast and want to donate to it, there'll be a link to PayPal in the notes. You know, on Spotify, Anchor, wherever you're listening to this, there's a donation link. You can donate if you want to. You don't have to. Please take care of your food, your water, your shelter, the people you love and care about. If you're going to stockpile some food, which I would recommend, I don't know when we're going to be there, but I feel like we're going to be there fairly soon. Make sure you think about your pets. Think about your dog. Think about your cat. Imagine sitting there and watching your dog slowly starve to death. So if you're going to think about making sure there's food for you, make sure there's food for your pets as well. But if you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of the people you love and care about, if you have the things you want and a few of the things you need, or vice versa, am I right? And you still got some money left over and you're just going to spend it on cocaine and hookers. You don't have to spend it on cocaine and hookers. You can spend it on your good friend Dan. And I'll spend your money on cocaine and hookers. Probably, you know, rent first, though. For Tuesday, April the 4th, 2023, it's just after 3 p.m. here in Utah. Wherever you are, I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, it must be fantastic. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Until you hear from me again, stay safe out there and stay away from the most dangerous animal in existence, a woman.